I came up with what I called my top 10 thoughts on the shack. And so that's really what we talked about last week, and this is just by way of review. We're not going over all of these again this morning. First and foremost is that God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
That's the overarching theme of the whole movie to me. God is good all the time. And God wants to have a relationship and fellowship with his children. Because God is good, because God is love, he wants to be in relationship with us. But there is evil in the world. People make choices. People choose unwisely, and therefore sin has consequences. There are things that God does not cause, but God can orchestrate and be with us in the midst of our deepest pain and is constantly at work for our good. Okay? So sin has consequences, but God is with us in those consequences. He shares those times with us, and if we allow him to, he can orchestrate those times for our good. And we don't know what we don't know. If you remember in the movie and in the story, you know, Mac did not know about the abuse that his father had suffered at the hands of his father. And so that led his father to be abusive to him. Well, Mac didn't know all of that. So we don't know what we don't know. But the problem is that we tend to be kind of all wrapped up in us. We are at the center of our universe. I've got a good friend that says I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. We're all at the center of our universe, but we're not at the center of the universe. Everything that happens isn't all about me. And because of that, you know, who am I really? Who am I really to judge other people, other situations, other circumstances? And if I allow them to, this anger that I carry around, the bitterness that I carry around, the resentments that I have in my heart will do nothing but blot me from God. And Mac in the story experienced a lot of this, and many of us experience these emotions. And the two that we really want to focus on today, we didn't get into these last week because we knew we were going to spend more time on these two today. There is healing in forgiveness. There is true, genuine healing in forgiveness. And number 10, God's story is worth sharing with others. And it's not just God's story, but the author of The Shack, William Paul Young, wrote this book originally to share with his children. You know, they sold, what, a million copies out of his garage before it was ever published. He initially wrote it just to share with his children. And Charlie talked last week about how we should best look at this as a parable. This is just a story about how God relates. So yeah. We're not just talking about God's story overall. We're talking about how God is at work in the midst of all this.
I think he wanted his kids to see how God had worked in his life.
Yeah.
And so this was a story that he wrote to communicate to his children how God had healed him and had changed him and had worked in his life and brought him to a better place. So it was really just for his kids to kind of help them understand him so that they could know a little bit more about his story and how God had worked in his life.
Yeah, and from out of that garage, they initially, you know, where they initially sold and shipped and self-published, now it's become a 20 million copy best-selling book and movie. So the story's worth sharing. And so what we are blessed to have this morning, a couple of our family members are going to share some of God's story and how God has been at work. Y'all want to come on up? Donna, I'll come help you, or Jim can help you. He's right there. Donna Herndon and Jim McCrory are both just going to share with us a little bit about how God has been at work in their life during some difficult times.
Yeah, I think a lot of us know pieces of Donna and Woody's story, and some of us know more recently about Jim's story, but some of you know nothing about either one of these of our members. Maybe you've joined our church in recent months or years and you really don't know who these individuals are, so you don't know why we've asked them to do this. Now, I would say this, there are others of you who have had significant sadness in your life, things that you've gone through that were hurtful, that you've worked through with God's help, and you're at a better place now. So it's not like these were the only two people. We know others could have shared their story as well. But we felt like these were two that were somewhat familiar with much of our church and would resonate with most of our members. And so we're going to just kind of ask them briefly. Donna, I think we're going to let you go first. And this is the question. We have three questions basically this morning that we're going to try to work through here in a reasonable amount of time. And the first one is just for each one, for Donna and Jim, just to briefly tell you their story, what it is that their great sadness involved, and then we'll come back and reflect on maybe a couple of other questions.
Those of you who know us and have known us for a long time know that over 25 years ago, our son was killed in a plane crash. Roger was as close to being the perfect child as anyone could imagine. And it just literally knocked the props out from under us to lose him at age 21 when we felt his life was really just beginning. He had been accepted at West Point after working extremely hard in high school. Perfect grades, good athlete. Brad Pritchett was his tennis doubles partner. Never a moment's trouble out of this kid, just almost like an old man in a young person's body. So mature. And as I said, accepted at West Point, which is said to be the most competitive of all colleges, and before he had a chance to really get out and give the world the gifts that we felt like God had given him, he was gone. And I'll tell you one thing, those of you who have service members or have ever had service members in your family, when you see two men in uniform coming to your door, that's not good. I still get goosebumps thinking about it. Yes, I went through anger. I was angry at God. How could he let this happen? We had been through a test of our faith when our daughter was 2 years old. Woody was stationed in Berlin, Germany. We had driven to Paris, France with our 2-year-old daughter, Melissa. Many of you know Melissa. And our baby son, Roger. We were meeting my brother and his wife in Paris. Ed had been on a medical mission in Africa that summer, and we hadn't seen him in almost a year, and of course he hadn't seen our new baby. Melissa was hit by a car as we were getting ready to leave our hotel. She was thrown 65 feet down the street, landed on her head. There was no respiration. There was no heartbeat. I don't know if you've ever had a dream where you were rooted in one place. I could not move. I stood on the sidewalk and prayed. And God answered those prayers. So I had a little experience with how good God can be. And I was angry that he didn't let me pray for Roger. A plane crash, killed in an instant. And I was angry at the pilot that was at the controls of that plane. Pilot error killed both of them. And I know Woody was angry too, and I wish he could be here. He wanted to come. He tried to get ready. But how did we get through it? Only with God's help. And God used so many of our friends and family to lift us up, to hold us up, and to pull us through that deep sadness. And it was a deep valley.
On November the 22nd, about 6:30 in the afternoon, Ronnie Hernandez and myself found my wife. She'd been suffering from depression, and she had quit taking her medicine about 10 days earlier. And she was in that black hole. I don't know if anybody's ever been in that black hole, but I have. I've suffered depression all my life, and currently have taken medicine for it, and right now I'm in a good place. But Janet was not in a good place, and about 6:30 that afternoon we found her, and she had taken about 50 muscle relaxers, and we got her to the hospital. And I thought as long as we got her to the hospital that we would be able to revive her. She was still breathing. And I thought that I had them take her to Lourdes because I thought that we could enroll her in the mental ward there at Lourdes. But between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, a real honest nurse, I knocked on the door, and a real honest nurse told me, she said, "Mr. McCrory, your wife's brain dead." And I went outside, and I screamed at that Lourdes Hospital. And I've never screamed like that before. But a peace came over me. This was early Sunday morning, and a peace came over me. And I said, "God, I'm going to use this to make something good come out of this. I know that I'm probably not talking to but just a few people that's depressed. But if you've ever been in that black hole, you know what I mean. Now, a lot of you won't ever understand why my wife took her life. But I understand it. And I'm not mad at her. And I don't think that I've suffered as much grief as I have just plain old depression. I went and saw a counselor right after Janet was buried because I knew that I needed to do that for myself and my girls, that in my state of mind, that I needed not only God's help, this church's help, but I needed professional help. And one of the things that we're going to discuss today is how did you see God at work in your life before and after this time? A good friend of mine, Dale Hargrove, back there in the back, I asked him to come today. And he got me enrolled in a Romans course several years ago. Dale and I worked together, and he's really the reason that he had a great influence on me, and really the reason I'm in church today is because of his love. But if you would, turn to Romans 5:1. I use this verse, or these series of verses, Romans 5:1 through 5, to get me through some difficult times when I lost my job, when I was going through some hard times through my depression. And it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace," and peace is a key word to me, "with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." I promised God that early Sunday morning that if I could ever do anything to help anyone that is suffering through depression or grief, that is my mission in life. And as most of you know, I'm on the road months at a time, and I share my story about Janet, and I share my story that I'm a Christian, that God is good all the time. And I'm so thankful for what He has gotten me through these last 2.5 years.
If you could speak a little bit to that second question, how did you were angry. How did you get through that?
Well, part of the way I got through that was, as I read my Bible, I found the fact that God suffered the loss of His Son. He hurt. I don't know if He was angry at the people who did that, because He understood why it had to happen. But I felt like God understood where I was coming from, and I felt like He was big enough to deal with my anger. And I asked Him to help me work through that. My faith was strengthened through this experience. And I know many of you have had times of great sadness, health challenges, those kinds of things that just make up life. And I doubt there's anyone in here who would say that those tough times, those deep valleys, have been the times your faith has grown stronger. And I know that my faith is much stronger. I think the experience that we had losing Roger and learning, well, literally life threw us to our knees, and that's a good place to pray. But I think that prepared us for challenges that we deal with now. Woody lost his entire left lung to cancer over 19 years ago due to Agent Orange exposure. His remaining lung functions about 15%. Every breath he takes is a labor. It wears him out. And I think the faith that we gained through our loss of Roger has sustained us one day at a time as we deal with life as we have it now.
Jim, you mentioned, Donna said she was angry. And I like what you said, that God is big enough for us to be honest with Him. I think that's really important. We sometimes, I think, feel like we should stuff it down and not express that, not talk about that, not admit that. But if you read through the Psalms, you see some of these Psalms that are called laments, where the author is mad. You know, how long, God? How long am I going to have to go through this? I think God is big enough to let us be honest with Him and work through some of those feelings that we have. And so I think that's an important point, that it's okay to be angry. And God can handle that. But Jim, you said you weren't, that you were not ever, you were never angry at God or Janet. Why do you think you weren't?
Just like Romans 5 says, there's a peace. And when I yelled out at 3 o'clock in the morning that morning, God put His hand on me. And there was a peace that I've never had before. I was alone. I was as alone as I've ever been in my life. But God put that peace on me. Now, I'm not going to say I haven't struggled. I've struggled a lot. And I had to go to counseling back in the fall. And since then...
Was that around the anniversary?
Around the anniversary.
Yeah.
When the time changed and the anniversary, it just hit me. And I didn't know what to do. But I knew what God had laid on my heart that morning, that I needed help. And I reached out to my life groups. I reached out to my friends. My friend Vivian back there in the back, she lost her husband a couple years ago, and we have had some of the best conversations, and we've laughed and we've cried, and finding someone to help me get through this, Mary Beth Hayes. I called Mary Beth one night. I'd found a book that Janet had written to Lexi when Lexi was a baby, and it said something to the effect of, Mama always loves you. And it just hit me. And I called Mary Beth, and Mary Beth was so strong that night. She just poured out her heart to me, and we talked, and I cried. But Ann Brooks and I have talked, and I know what it is to empathize with people now. I had never lost anyone. And empathy will change your life. God is good all the time. That's even in our darkest times, God is good. And I've just got to live with that, or I'll go crazy.
You may have already kind of done this, but what word of hope would you give someone here today, maybe unknown to any of the rest of us? Or maybe known. I mean, we know each other pretty well. We know who's going through some difficult times. But what word of hope would both of you give to someone who's going through what something similar to what you guys, different situation, but similar in that they've lost something, someone, something that has created this hole in their life? What would you say to them as a word of hope?
One thing that gave me hope, as I really studied the scripture, and you know, it tells us, lean not to thine own understanding, trust in the Lord, lean not to thine own understanding. His ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I've had to start thinking in terms of the big picture, even though I see darkly through the glass. But the big picture to God, this little fraction of our time that we spend on earth is just tiny compared to our eternity that we're going to have together. And that was one thing I really appreciated about reading The Shack, and it was 16 years after Roger died that I read that. But a parable is a powerful way of communicating an important truth. And the Lord used parables to great effect. And I feel very strongly that this book can communicate a great truth. And I appreciate the fact that we've had these discussions, because I think that book reinforced to me the way I needed to see the big picture.
Like I've already said, I'm at complete peace. I don't know how anybody could go through what me and Miss Donna's gone through without Jesus. I don't know how. People do it every day, but I don't know how they do it, because it's taken everything for me and my family to get through this with leaning on the Lord. And my girls have been my rock for me. They both spoke at the service. And if any of you are ever interested in, I think Danny told me this whenever we had the service back on that Saturday, that those two girls spoke to people that were 60, 70, 80 years old, and they learned something that day. We still have that on videotape, and if anybody would like to get a copy of that, I would highly recommend it if you're going through a tough time, because my girls showed what the Lord can do when they're, you know, when he's working through them. I just want to thank everybody that's been a part of my life, and it's been so good to me for the last 27 years that Janet and I were going to church here, and this is a great church, and I appreciate it. And I'm looking at Joanne Mathis right now. I love Joanne Mathis. And I've just got great friends everywhere right here. And I just want to thank you for everything y'all do for my family.
Any last thought or word, Donna?
Well, I was just sitting here thinking. Roger was studying aerospace engineering. He wanted to fly with the astronauts, and he's flying higher than he ever dreamed.
I don't know if it's appropriate to clap or not, but we do appreciate the stories that you've shared. I know it's hard, even 20-some-odd years removed. The pain is still there. So it's not something I guess we ever get over, but we get through it, and we learn how to go forward.
And we learn that we're going to spend eternity together, and that's what counts.
That is our hope. That is very much who we are as a people of faith. We are people who believe this is not all there is, that there is more yet to come. And that is a knot at the end of the rope that we hold on to, is that this is not it. This is not the end. This is not all there is. That there is more to come, and that our God is good, and that somehow He's going to make this right. And at the end of the day, that's very much who we are, I think, as people of faith. We believe in a God who is just and good and who is going to make all of this right. And He's the only one who can do that. And so that's our hope. That's what we believe. And that's what gets us through these times of great sadness. So we appreciate you guys sharing with us your story today. And I feel like the Spirit will use that and will touch the hearts of people who needed to hear that and will be blessed by that. We want to ask the question, what now? Where do we go from here? And we kind of like to kind of wrap things up today. There are three things that I'd like to share with you in answer to that question, what now? We're presently planning classes for the fall, and we think a future class on this topic might be helpful, where we could sit around in a classroom maybe and have more conversation and Bible study on this topic. If you have some thoughts about that, we'd love to hear them. If you think that's a good idea, if you would like that, if you think you would enjoy or benefit from further conversations on this subject, let us know, and we will do what we can to make that happen. We've also thought about something this church might offer in the future as part of our recovery ministry, as some sort of support group for those maybe who've lost a loved one or a son or a child, a daughter, someone close to them. I know there are groups like that in town, and maybe some of you have participated in a group like that, but we've thought about, would that be something that we could do here at the university family that maybe might minister to our members in a significant way? We'd like to hear your feedback on that too. Do you think that would be good? Would that be something that you think would be a blessing to people? And we'd like to know your thoughts on that as well. The third thing is, there is a prayer group that's been formed that meets once a week on Wednesday nights, and the half a dozen or so that are in there from week to week, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little less, are committed to praying for you. So if you're going through a time of a season of sadness, if you want to call it that, something's happened, and you'd like some of your brothers and sisters to pray about it, let us know. We can keep a secret. We will keep whatever you share with us confidential if you don't want it to be known. We just want to pray for you. So if you need prayer for something you're facing, for something you're going through, let us know. We want to be a family that ministers to each other, and that's something that we can do is go to the Father and lay our request before Him as we're instructed to do in Scripture. So we want to do that, and we offer that to you if that can be helpful to you.
One of the things I'll say too, and I say this a lot, and I usually say it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we do have a class downstairs that can help you with virtually anything you might be struggling with. The 12 steps, as first written by a man named Bill Wilson, we all that are in that class can testify to the fact those steps can help anyone with spiritual transformation. So that is another option that is currently ongoing. We invite anyone to join us in our 12-step class on Sunday mornings. I want to thank Donna and Jim also for participating with us this morning, and I want to thank you for your interest in the last couple of weeks. Do you feel like this has been helpful? I hope so. I hope that you do. I mentioned last week.
Hey, Mark, I'm sorry, but Jim has one more thing he wanted to share.
I just want to say one more thing about Janet. And this is going to be hard for some of you to understand, but what Janet did is not who she was. Janet was a Christian that believed in God, that loved the Lord, that loved her children, that loved people. And what she did was, in a moment of pure darkness that she just could not feel like she could get through. And there's a stigma with suicide, and I know that. And I have to live with that. But I just want y'all to know that what she did is not who she was. That I love my wife so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. Somebody gave my wife a copy of The Shack, and I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again in case you weren't here. During a time that was not good for us personally, and when she was going through dealing with breast cancer, that was a very severe form of cancer, and she wanted me to read it, and I wasn't a very cooperative spouse at that time, so I didn't do it. But she wasn't wanting to discuss with me whether or not I thought the book was biblically accurate or theologically correct. Her question was, can I really have that kind of a relationship with God? And if you remember last week, Charlie referenced Papa being especially fond of Neil Diamond. Some of you may not even know who Neil Diamond is, but God is especially fond of Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And God is also especially fond of each one of you.
That's right.
He's especially fond of each one of us. And he longs to have that in-depth, loving fellowship and relationship with us as his children. And that's what this story is about. And as a body of believers, that's the kind of story that we want to tell. We want to be a people who love each other and who pray for each other and who support each other. But we also want to be a people that proclaims the message that God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
He loves us and he wants to be in fellowship and relationship with us. And there may be somebody right here today that's in your own time of great sadness, or might be dealing with your own anger, bitterness, resentment, something that's blocking you from God. And we want to call you to let that go, to trust the passage that Donna referenced, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and to acknowledge his ways are higher than our ways. That's the God that we love and we serve, and that's the God that we want to serve as a community of believers together. So if we can pray for you this morning, if we can hug you in the midst of your tears, if we can welcome you as a member of this family, we want to do that as together we stand and we worship.
Let's bless each other. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.